As has been announced, I want to speak upon the subject adders' eggs and spiders' webs. Turning to the 59th chapter of the book of the prophecy of Isaiah, verses 5 and 6. They hatch cockatrice eggs or adders' eggs in the margin, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their work are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hand. If you have your New Testament and you turn over to the third chapter of Romans, you will discover that Paul, in his great indictment of the human race, quotes from this chapter of Isaiah. And he uses this chapter to authoritatively, from the scriptures, condemn all men because of their sin. There are two great things set forth in this chapter. First of all, there is man's sin, his total and absolute and utter depravity before God. Man's sin is painted here on the canvas of Holy Scripture in all its dark, in all its black, in all its hideous, in all its hideous, and in all its hellish color. And then we have something more. We have man's scheme to get rid of his sin. For man will not have the glorious plan of redemption. Man and their sin turn their back on the offer of sovereign grace, on the Christ of Calvary, on the offered mercy of the gospel. And they seek by their own iniquitous devisings and contrivings to make up a way of salvation for themselves. I want you to look first of all at man's sin as seen in this chapter. And if you look at it, you'll see it seen as a tremendous and awful blot. And what a blot sin is in the great universe of our God. You know, when God made this universe, he could pronounce over it, "Very good." But sin entered in, and sin stained and soiled and scarred and marred the universe of God. And my friend, there's one great hideous blot on humanity tonight. There's one great hideous blot across the world tonight. There's one great hideous blot across the nations tonight. And that blot is sin. You don't get rid of sin through education. And you don't get rid of sin through better environments. You know, there's some crazy preachers in this city, and they're preaching if you can get man into a better environment, they'll be all right. Pull down the slums, build them better houses, give them all the facilities that they need, and man will be different. My friend, in a few days, in a few weeks, In a few months, the very homes that you build them will be slums. And in 20 years' time, you'll have to pull them down and start again. There's a housing estate in the city. I don't need to mention it by name. Everybody knows it. And it was a beautiful housing estate. And they moved the people into it. And today it is a veritable slum. I went up myself to have a look at it one day, and one man was keeping his greyhound in the bath. He said, it's a great kennel, this bath. And they were cutting down the stairs and burning them. Yeah. Of course, you ratepayers, you pay for it. You have to pay for that sort of thing. I said to an old modernist preacher one day that was talking this piffle to me, I said, sir, Adam and Eve had the best possible environment. Adam and Eve were put into the best possible circumstances, and they fell, and great was their fall. It's not a new environment that man needs. It's not better education that man needs. It's a mighty spiritual, eternal regeneration that man needs. God needs to work in his inner heart and do a work of grace that shall stand the test of corroding time and the tests of all the eons of a coming eternity. Well, in this chapter, you have the blot of sin. Look at verse 1. Sin blots out God. Yes. Sin! It builds its mountain of iniquity until God in heaven is blotted out. Poor sinners, God's ear can't hear their cry. Poor sinners, God's face is hidden from them. Poor sinners, God's arm doesn't reach them. Why? Because sin, building its lofty Everest of iniquity, blots out God from the human soul. You go on sinning, my friend, and you're blotting out God from your soul. Sin is a terrible thing. It takes the creature made in God's image, and it so mars and scars him that he becomes a child of hell. The hand maiden and hand man of all iniquity. Sin, it blights the life. Sin, it diseases the body. Sin, it stifles the senses. Sin, it fills the coffins. Sin, it peoples hell. Sin, it blots out God from man. Look at verse 3. Sin blots out cleanness from man's hand. And when sin's finished, the hands are stained with blood. You remember the character that Shakespeare described so well. And upon the hand was a blot, and to that person it was a damnable blot. And that's what sin does. It puts a blot on the hands of man. Blots out cleanness from their hand. Look with me at verse 3. It blots out truth from their lips. I want you to see this picture of sin tonight. It starts in the soul and it blots God from the soul. It takes the hands and it blots cleanness from the hands. It takes the lips and it blots truth from the lips. And the lips, instead of speaking truth, speak lies. And the lips, instead of speaking the things that are pure and are lovely and are of good report, they speak the things that are vile and hideous and abominable and deserve the damnation of hell. I wonder how many unregenerate blasphemers are in this service. I wonder how many people with unclean lips. I wonder how many people of unclean language and unholy speech. The marks of sin are upon you. Sin, my friend, takes truth from the lips. Look with me at verse 4. Sin takes righteousness from the life. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Here we have the whole life blotted, stained, marked, branded with sin. We're talking about a filthy thing tonight, this thing called sin. And only for the grace of God, my friend, this blot in all its filthiness would be upon you. Perhaps God in His providence has restrained you, and the power of sin within you has been held within bounds and has been held by the reins of God's constraint. But if God took His hand off you, sinner, you would go out and commit the most damnable sins in the book. Don't you think that poor murderer is any worse than you, for he's not. Don't you think that man that's behind the prison bars and doing time for some awful, vile iniquity is worse than you, for he's not. It's only the grace of God that has restrained the reign of sin in our lives. The old Puritan preacher was right when he watched the man going to the hangman's rope, and he said, "There goes me, but for the grace of God." I'm talking about hard realities tonight. Sin blots righteousness from the life. Look at verse 7. Sin blots honesty from the walk. There's nothing honest about a sinner's walk. Listen to what God says. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. Oh, this dark blot that sin puts upon the path, upon the walk of a sinner. Look at verse 8. Sin blots purity from man's thoughts. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Sin, my friends, takes straightness from man's paths and equity from their paths. And look at verse 9. Sin blots hope from a man's future. Look at this. We wait for light and behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. That's one of the greatest descriptions of a sinner in his darkness. Waiting for light. My eye visited the deathbed of sinners, and they've been waiting for light, but it never came. Trusted in the religion. Thought the hireling prophet that came along and told them the devil's lie. They thought he was a messenger of truth. And he told them their baptism had saved them, and their confirmation had given them the Holy Ghost, and it was well with their soul, and they're dying, and they're waiting for light. And instead of light, they get the blackness of darkness forever. I'm talking about reality, man. That's what I'm talking about. I've seen these people die. Sin blots hope from the future of sinners. The most hopeless thing is an unready deathbed. The most hopeless experience is a Christ rejecter's death. And some of you, if you died tonight, you would die without hope. Yes. You say, "Preacher, this is strong." Yes, this is the Word of God. We'd need to start and preach it, wouldn't we? in this easygoing age, we've got away from the old thunders of gospel truth, haven't we? We've got away from preaching righteousness and repentance. And sin's doctored up as if it's not anything of our concern. Sin needs to be repented of. Sin needs to be wept over. Sin needs to be shunned. Sin needs to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Sin puts a blot on man. It blots judgment from the city, verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Here's sin. The great big blot in man's life. And what do men do? Do they come to the fountain filled with blood? No, sir, they do not. Do they seek after God? No, sir. And don't you believe the nonsense that men are seeking after God, for they're not. Men are seeking to get as far from God as they possibly can get. When Adam fell, he didn't run to God. Thank God, God ran to fallen man. That's the gospel. The gospel is not man's quest for God. The gospel is God's quest for man. God's looking man. Let me give you a statement, my friend. The new theology, R.J. Campbell, apostle of modernism. And this is what he says. Listen to this. This is the modernism that's preached from our pulpits. Sin itself is a quest for God. Well, listen to it. A blundering quest, but a quest for all that. The man who got dead drunk last night did so because of the impulse within him to break through the barriers of his limitations, to express himself, and to realize the more abundant life. His self-indulgence just came to that. He wanted, if only for a brief hour, to live the larger life. The drunken debauch was a quest for life, a quest for God. Men in their sinful follies today, and their blank atheism, and their foul blasphemies, and their trampling upon things that are beautiful and good, are engaged in a dim, blundering quest for God. The prostitute you saw in Piccadilly last night, who went out to corrupt innocence and to wallow in filthiness, was engaged in a blundering quest for God. That's, my friend, what modernism teaches. Man seeking for God. Men are not seeking for God. Sin blots them. You know what they do, friend? They try the adder's egg and the spider's web. And you know what the adder is? The adder's the serpent. And the man is here and he's lost. And the devil comes along and feeds poor, fallen, sinful, hell-bound man with his eggs. And what does the Bible say? Look at it. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. Yes, sir. And I want to tell you that modernist preacher tonight, that's what he's serving up in his pulpit, the adder's egg. The devil's production, that's what another gospel is. And how many people in this city are eating of the adder's eggs, and God says they're dying. Yes, sir, and they'll die with the poison of the pit. What a tragedy. Oh, I've talked to these men and these women, and they've sat under apostate preachers so long that they're conditioned to the whole business. Yes, I've talked to them. They don't want Jesus Christ. One man said to me, "My minister doesn't talk like you." He said, "You're like a brethren preacher." I said, "Do you think the brethren are the only people that preach the gospel?" "Yeah." "I want to tell you this, my friend, I'm a Bible preacher. That's the sort of preacher I want to be. And the Bible says ye must be born again." That old modernist preacher said, "No, you don't need to be born again." I remember having an argument when I was a young fellow with Barber of Craigie Presbyterian Church. And he said to me, he said, "Ian," he said, "Jesus Christ went too far when he told man they needed to be born again."
That's what he said.
He said, "You know, there are 12 ways into the city of God." And he said, "I grant you that the Protestant way is the best way. But," he says, "the Roman Catholic way and the Hindu's way and the Confucius way, they're all ways to God. And they'll all get there at the end." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's only one way to God, friend. It's not the way of the Free Presbyterians or the Brethren or the Baptists or the Congregationalists or anybody else. It's the way that Jesus set out in the book. Got to come that way. You'll not get saved sitting under Ian Paisley's preaching. You'll not get saved because you come to the Ulster Hall every Sunday night, or even became a Free Presbyterian. That wouldn't save you. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ only saves. You need Christ. And some of you are eating the adder's eggs. You're bluffed. You're fooled. You're duped. You're deceived. And when a preacher comes along and tells you you're deceived, you don't like it. You say, "I don't like that sort of preaching. I wish Mr. Paisley would have a go at the Pope and leave me alone. I'm going to have a go at you tonight, sinner." Yeah, it's real straight shooting. Oh, let me tell you, friend. Let me tell you that sin is not got rid of by eating the adder's egg. Don't you believe that? No hell, preacher. Because there's a hell, friend. The first sermon I preached was in County Tyrone. I was just turned 16 years of age. I am over 40 now. I know I don't look it. I'm going up to the half century. I preached in a few places. And I'll tell you where I've been. I've been at more deathbeds than you'll ever be at. I've been there, for my duty called me there. And I can tell you as an honest witness, I've seen man die without Christ. And if I didn't believe in hell, friend, I would believe in hell because of the witness that I've had. I've seen men go out into the night. Yes. I've heard them scream. I've seen their friends trying to hold them in the bed. I've seen hardened, old, brazen neck sinners die in their sin. And I'm telling you, there's a hell. I've seen hypocrites, religious Pharisees that trusted in formality of ceremonies. I've seen them die, friend. And I've been in the vestibule of hell. I've heard them going across the great divide. My, there's a hell, friend. Could I warn you tonight, sinner, sitting in this meeting, that you're in danger of eternal fire? Could I tell you with a holy book in my hand, God being my witness, that this night if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll be in hell forevermore. The deeper down than tyrant Sidon will the Christ rejecter go. Don't be a fool, friend. Don't eat the adder's egg to your death. Turn, my friend, to the good bread of gospel truth and eat, and praise God, your soul shall live. But there's something else in this text There's the spider's web. And you know what God says? He says their webs shall not become garments. The spider puts out its web. What to do? To attract and trap the fly. And what seemingly glistens in the sunshine as beautiful silver threads, in reality is a snare for the death of that fly. And their webs shall not become garments. And men are busy spinning their webs to make a covering for themselves. Webs of religious ceremonies. Webs of good works. Webs of false schemes and falser philosophies and ideologies and theologies. Yes, they're weaving them. And they think that they'll cover themselves with a church. It's going to fall round you in the day of judgment. They think they'll cover themselves with baptism, but no ordinance of Christ can save. It's only Jesus himself can save. He didn't say baptism is the way to heaven. He didn't say the Lord's table is the door to heaven. He didn't say that reading your Bible would take you to heaven. No, sir. He says, I am the way. Personal Christ. You're weaving your web, aren't you? And you think that someday you'll have a covering. I was reading a little verse. What think ye of Christ is the question. To try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest until you think rightly of him. It's your relationship to Jesus Christ that settles the question. Now tell me, man, be honest about it. Tell me, woman, be honest about it. Are you eating the adder's egg? Are you trusting in the spider's web that'll never become a garment? Or tell me, has your sin been blotted out in the precious blood of the Lamb? Now, when I led that dear man to Christ today amid his tears, as we prayed, he says, it's great. It's great. He says, it's great. I said, thank God it's great. Great to know your burden rolled away, isn't it? Great to know your sins forgiven. Great to know that one day you'll be in heaven. What a day, sweeping through the gates of the New Jerusalem, singing, wash in the blood of the Lamb. God knows I love your soul. God knows I long that you might be in heaven. God being my witness, I preach that you might be converted. Friend, make this night your night and come to Jesus and be saved for all eternity. Let's bow our heads. Father, this has been a solemn night. We have been handling thy word. It is a powerful word. Sin puts a blot on man, a blight upon their souls. Oh God, save this congregation from adder's eggs and spider's webs. God, help them to trust Jesus. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, this part of the service is almost concluded. I want to invite you to Christ tonight. I'm glad there's men and women all around us and they're all saved by the grace of God. May I thank God I'm a Christian, that God has saved me. I'm not trusting in my preaching. I'm not trusting in my ministry. I'm not trusting in anything I've done. I'm trusting only in Jesus for salvation. And friend, let me tell you, you're trusting Christ. I know you are. Praise God you're saved. Tell the Lord that you love him. Thank him that he saved you from hell and death. And then would you do something? Would you pray as you have never prayed before, that this night in the Ulster Hall, God will bring sinners to himself? Would you pray that prayer? Now, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and we're perfectly still and quiet before God, if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl, a backslider or a sinner, and God has touched your heart tonight, you maybe have a profession, but that's all it is. It's an empty thing. You're not really saved. Maybe you're a backslider for a long time. You've been backsliding in your heart. Maybe you're a sinner. You've never trusted Christ. And friend, God has spoken to you tonight, and the word of God's gone home to your heart, and you know that you should come to Christ tonight. There's only one way to heaven. It's the way of the cross. There's only one way to the cross. It's the pathway of confession, if we confess our sins. And if you're a backslider and say, Lord, I'm a backslider. If you're a sinner and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner and I know it. Then praise God, God can meet with you and deal with you when you confess your need. But you must confess your need. All right. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is there a man or a woman, a boy or girl in this meeting tonight who's saying, yes, I'm a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. Yes, I'm a backslider. Lord, have mercy on me. Well, if there is, would you lift your hand now quietly above your head? Lift it right up so that I can see it. And then take it down again. Is there one? Just lift it now. That's right. Just lift it right up so that I can see it. Yes, just do it now.